And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my wife and co-host. And wife and co-host, Sheridan Gold.
Sometimes it's unbelievable.
Yes. Tonight we have a phone interview with Nick DiMartino, a Hollywood executive who is being honored at this year's Fall Men's Festival at Wildwood in Guerneville. It's taking place Thursday, September 18th through Sunday, September 21st.
And if you're like us, we don't know much about Wildwood and the retreats up there. So we're looking forward to talking with Nick. Nick DiMartino, he is a media consultant and former senior vice president at the American Film Institute in Los Angeles. So he is going to be on the phone with us after news. He does live in Los Angeles. He's also been a longtime supporter of Wildwood and its commitment to creating a sanctuary sustained by gay men for healing, transformation, and spiritual growth in the hills above Guerneville, California.
Yes, and there's a lot more for us to learn about Nick and his life and his work and his and the retreat, and I'm looking forward to that. But first, we're going to get to hear news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, September 7th, 2014. Last Tuesday, the Rainbow Honor Walk featuring the faces of 20 LGBT heroes was unveiled on Castro Street in San Francisco, but some of the plaques contain some embarrassing misspellings. Here's ABC 7 News with more.
Take a walk down Castro Street and you'll see the faces of 20 heroes from the LGBT community. The Rainbow Honor Walk was unveiled Tuesday and many are getting a first look.
It's nice.
Yeah,
bring more people to the neighborhood.
I'll be honest, I don't know all of the people on these, so she's educating me.
Pam and Jilly recognized writer Oscar Wilde, but when they took a picture, something was strange.
Essay is known for his biting wit, his bitting wit, spelling error.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, dear.
This typo may have amused Mr. Wilde, but the owner of Cliff's Variety is trying to find the humor.
If he did not have biting wit, the man had a biting wit. So the proofreader needs to be slapped.
And the plaque honoring Christine Jorgensen has a misspelling, too. Transgender is missing an S.
How it happened, we don't know. The bottom line is, we're going to fix it.
Honor Walk Chairman David Perry admits the typos in bronze are embarrassing. More than $100,000 in private donations paid for the plaques and will now cover the cost of corrections.
Even with the two typos, you look and you see the stories of these people and you see their faces.
Perry says more plaques will be installed in the future, this time with lots of proofreading. In San Francisco, Cornell Bernard, ABC 7 News.
Last week, we reported on hearings held by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals on same-sex marriage bans in Wisconsin and Indiana. Well, on Thursday this week, the court ruled that gay marriage bans in both states are unconstitutional. This week's decision by a three-judge panel of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals bumps the number of states where gay marriage will be legal from 19 to 21. The decision was also unanimous. The Wisconsin and Indiana cases shifted to Chicago after their attorneys general appealed separate lower court rulings in June, tossing the bans. The Seventh Circuit Court stayed those rulings pending its decision. During oral arguments in August, one judge appointed by the Republican likened same-sex marriage bans to laws that once barred interracial marriage. Judge Richard Posner says they're derived from hate and savage discrimination of gays. The states continue to argue that prohibitions helped foster a centuries-old tradition. And here locally, the Sonoma County Commission on Human Rights has approved the creation of a task force of the commission to focus on the state of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex communities in Sonoma County. The LGBTQI task force consists of three sitting commissioners, Kevin Jones from the 2nd District, Christopher Muhurin from the 3rd District, and Ramon Moraz from the 5th District, and the commission chair, Judy Rice, from the 5th District as an ex officio member. Over the coming 9 months, the LGBTQI Task Force will collect information from all parts of the county in order to develop recommendations that the full commission will review and forward to the Board of Supervisors as appropriate. The objectives outlined for the LGBTQI Task Force will take considerable effort and require participation by many parts of our diverse community. The first meeting of the task force will take place later this month at the Family Justice Center in Santa Rosa. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Wednesday, September 10th at 5 p.m., Spectrum's Youth Support Group will gather at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road in San Rafael. And on Thursday, September 11th at noon, the men's brown bag lunch will happen at the Spectrum Center, same location. On Saturday, September 13th at 8:30 a.m., you can walk with the front runners at Howarth Park, 630 Summerfield Road in Santa Rosa. And also on Saturday at 6:30 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present Vita Meet a Vegemin Bingo at Veterans Memorial Hall in Guerneville. This event benefits the AIDS Nutrient Bank. For more information and to get tickets, go to rrsisters.com. And finally, this year's Wine Country Film Festival opens in Kenwood on Wednesday, September 17th. This year's schedule features many LGBT-themed films, including Bobby Joe, a documentary short about local singer-songwriter Bobby Joe Valentine. The festival will also host the world premiere of Four Nights in the Hamptons, and the film's director, Michael Knowles, returns to this year's festival along with actor Gillian Vanover. There will also be a screenwriter's workshop available at this year's festival. You can learn more at wcff.us. For more information about local LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And if you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter all week long for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Morelia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan. And we're back in studio on the phone with Nick DiMartino. Nick, are you there?
I am.
Hey, it worked. I love it when technology works.
Good evening.
So nice to have you join us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Well, thank you for your invitation.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So, Nick, this is Diana speaking now. We've been reading up on you and checking out your blogs and learning about Wildwood. And so thank you for this interview because we get to learn a lot about Wildwood and what's happening there. So we would like to know, we would like to start with, how did you get involved? Because we know more than what the audience knows, so we want them to know a little bit about you.
Well, for those of you who don't know anything about Wildwood at all, it's a conservation foundation and retreat center north of Guerneville on the top of a mountain above East Austin Creek Park, State Park on Old Cazadero Road. And it's kind of a little slice of heaven because there's not a lot of development around there. And in 2000, we made it a nonprofit conservation foundation, and it's part of the Sonoma County Land Trust. So there's several hundred acres up there, and there's hiking and creeks and crumbling homesteads from years gone past, and at the very top is the Wildwood Retreat Center. I first got aware of it in the late 90s through the work of friends of mine who began to go to retreats there held by the Body Electric School. And I myself had not gotten involved in that group, and then I was actually just a little frightened about it, frankly, like some people are. It's a men's group that involves erotic touch and breathing and yoga and lots of other things. And in my personal story, I was relatively new in sobriety. I stopped drinking and using drugs in 1996. And my best friend, who had gone up to Wildwood, gave me a birthday present of a gift of one of the weekends down in another center in Los Angeles, and it blew my mind. It changed my life, and About a year later, unfortunately, he passed away. And I was quite distraught, and I really didn't know what to do, but I kind of had this idea that part of the grieving process ought to be to go to a place that I knew meant something to him. And so I petitioned the people at the Body Electric School to let me in one of the workshops, just the next one that was happening, and it was a week-long retreat called In the Garden of Life. And this was really, truly, deeply life-changing. I can only describe it to you. When I came back, I booked a session with my therapist. I was still seeing a therapist at that time. And I told him, I spent an hour just going through what had happened in this week. And at the end of the session, he said, well, you know, you can continue to come here and talk about all these things if you want, but you did a year's worth of work in one week at Wildwood. So, you know, you can see the passion that's there for me, and I became very, very interested in that kind of work and the men that I met, and a lot of, you know, focus on being present in the moment and being conscious with each other and healing. And so I continued to come to Wildwood for Body Electric, but it didn't take very long before I realized that a lot of the magic that was happening because of the location. You know, you're at the top of a mountain with the redwood forest as far as the eye can see, and the clouds coming, wafting through the valleys below you, and the sun coming across the sky, and, you know, clear, clean, fresh air 13 miles from the Pacific Ocean. I was in love, so I started coming up for work weekends and helping fix things up and do things that needed to be done. Like most nonprofits, Wildwood is always struggling for money, and volunteer work was a big part of how they kept the place going.
So you would come every weekend to...
Well, I couldn't do that. I live in Burbank, California, so it's, you know, 8 hours or more to drive back and each way. Starting in 2000, 2001, 2002, I was coming up probably every other month. Mm. And I would either be coming up there for work weekends or for a Body Electric workshop or some other activity. And then somewhere along there, I was just looking through my notes, trying to figure out exactly when it was, but I think it was about 2001, 2002, I was asked to join the board at the foundation. And so I came up for board meetings 3 times a year, as well as many, many board meetings on the phone, because many of the men that were involved came from all over the country, from Wisconsin and Washington, D.C., and Boston and L.A. and Palm Springs and Seattle and all over the place. So it was, particularly at that time, kind of a national effort to try to create a sanctuary for gay and lesbian people to be safe in exploring the issues that they consider to be important. So it's kind of a cross between a strong gay and lesbian push and a kind of a spiritual movement that a lot of folks in California find useful. So that's my story. That's how I got involved. And in this, I think I was on the board for 5 or 6 years, and my life changed a bit, so I couldn't quite spare the time to come up that much, and I migrated off the board and continued to support the organization and go usually to the... we started it, I was just looking here, in 2001. It was originally called the Stakeholders Gathering. And it was, you know, people who had given either financially or through volunteer work to the organization coming together for a weekend of celebration and doing, you know, feasting and hiking and enjoying the place without some workshop to be involved. And it kind of evolved into the Wildwood Men's Festival. And it's most of the, I mean, there are many groups that come there that include men and women, but this particular group is focused on men, gay men. Actually, I suppose there are some who are not, but anyway, The men's festival happens now annually in September, and sometimes they have one in the spring. And there are some workshops and sessions and organized activities, but mostly it's a celebration and a chance to connect with people and the space and the location.
So the men's festival, as it is now, started as a stakeholders gathering.
Yeah, there's a strong sense that we needed to have a way. Really, it was kind of a thank you to people who had given or to people who had volunteered, and you know, providing a way to you know, have everybody know each other and build community.
So is that how it is now, or is
it? Well, I think it's evolved a bit. You know, I think the last one I was at was the year before last, and there's certainly still many of the people who attend are longtime supporters of Wildwood, and so it's one of the reasons that it's fun to go back if you've been involved in an organization is that you get to reconnect with old friends that you don't see. But now there's a much stronger outreach. Some younger men have gotten involved, and I think one of the results is this outreach to you and an opportunity to talk to other people in Sonoma County who might be listening to this radio show, and invite them to take a look at the website and see if this is something they'd like to attend. It's not, in other words, it's not exclusive to people who have been donors or volunteers.
See. Well, since you mentioned the website, why don't you go ahead and give the address right now, and then we'll do it again at the end of the show.
Sure. It's wildwoodretreat.com. And you'll see when you go to the homepage, it's Wildwood Conservation Foundation and Retreat Center. And if you click on the link headline marked events, it'll take you to the men's festival. And the rest of it is there's a history and an opportunity to get involved, and some of the other partners that hold events there. They do rent out the facility for all kinds of activities, including weddings, and I think they have quilting groups and yoga groups and all kinds of other things. So if you're interested in a beautiful place to hold an event or a workshop, you can take a look at the Retreat Center website for that purpose, too.
Mm-hmm. So I was curious when you first started talking, Nick, when somebody first told you about this quite a while ago, you said you were kind of scared about the Body Electric School.
Yeah.
And you said it kind of freaked you out, scared you a little bit because it was about erotic touch. So what changed your mind? Because I'm wondering if that is still the case for someone who knew Wildwood back in the day and they are freaked out and don't want to go there, or it's about erotic touch or something. I mean, how did you come to say, okay, I'm going to go check it out, besides your friend? I mean, I know you said your friend passed and that was to like honor your friend, but it sounds like you got more than you said.
Yeah, I definitely turned that corner. I mean, you know, I think maybe, you know, this, I don't know, I can only speak for myself and, you know, other gay men who think the same way I do, but I can tell you, after doing a lot of this and becoming very involved with the Body Electric School, that gay men in particular, they have much less trouble with sex than they do with intimacy, and it isn't really the touch, because that is something that's been part of my life since I came out at age 21, but it was this combination of connecting the erotic energy or the fire with the heart and with the spirit.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of the work that is done is, it's really not, it's not an orgy, you know, it's not sexually, it's not like you get at a sex club. That's the whole point of it. It's much more involved with loving touch and both receiving and giving and feeling connected to yourself and, you know, to the universe, in a way that's a lot different than kind of this anonymous thing, or, you know, the sort of, I would say, dominant motifs of erotic energy that men get from porno. This is not pornographic. This is, you know, eyes wide open. And, you know, one of the things that men, I think, probably, you say it and it maybe sounds obvious, but a lot of men have an awful lot of difficulty looking at each other. And, I mean, really keeping our eyes open. And so many of these are based on tantric practices from the East, and there's a lot of ritual involved. So there's a lot of very mindful processes that in the workshops that bring you slowly into a space which might be otherwise scary. So, you know, a lot of men are perfectly happy to have an erotic adventure, but they don't want to be in a group, and they don't want to be seen in the same way. And so all of those things happened, and I did it and didn't die, which was, you know, a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that, you know, a lot of this stuff was never taught to me as a young gay man growing up. You know, I came out the year after Stonewall in Washington, D.C., and then moved to New York. So I was a child of the 70s. I'm 66 years old now, so you can do the math. And everything I learned improvisationally. You know, we had no manuals, did we? You know, they didn't want us to do anything, so anything we did, we learned ourselves with other people, and it wasn't always the healthiest methods of learning. But, you know, it was the time we were in. So, Body Electric was also born out of the AIDS crisis. I just went to the celebration this spring in Oakland of, I think, it would have been, let's see, it was in 2000. So it's 30 years, the 30th anniversary of the founding of the Body Electric School by Harry Fottis. And a lot of the founders and the other leaders from back then were there, and they told early stories. A lot of it was about providing an opportunity for men who had gone or were in the midst of the AIDS crisis before the cocktail began to save people's lives. Nobody wanted to touch them, and this was a chance for massage to be brought into. They brought massage into the San Francisco General AIDS Ward and offered touch as a healing modality. So Wildwood got connected to that process because a lot of the caregivers in the AIDS community in San Francisco would go there as a kind of a retreat. It kind of made a transition from being a resort into being a retreat center. And by the early 90s, it was actually something of a hospice where people went there to basically be in nature when they passed. Mm-hmm. So there's a strong thread in this story, and you can read it on the history of the website of Wildwood, really having a kind of a deep connection to the Bay Area's gay community and evolving with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wildwood seemed like it really have touched your life in particular, and healed you in a special way. And we're curious to hear, Nick, how you will be honored at Wildwood.
Or why?
Why? Well, yeah, why?
I'm curious to know how I'll be honored, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think they started this idea a few years ago. I've been to two or three previous men's festivals where they had an honoree selected. And it's flattering to be asked to be the focus of attention and to be acknowledged for, you know, the time and effort and money that you've contributed. My expertise on the board was trying to help them reconfigure themselves into a functional nonprofit to help raise money. And, you know, that it was a struggle because there was, organizationally and legally, it made a transition from being privately owned to being essentially rescued by this a group of men. This was the year before I...
Hello, are you there, Nick? We're going to take a music break right now and see if we can get Nick back on the phone. So hopefully we got this song called Nobody Hurt You. It's one of Nick's favorite songs by Graham Parker. We're crossing our fingers it works. Here we go. And if you just joined us, we are on the line with Nick DiMartino. Nick, are you there?
I am.
Okay, there you are. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows. It's just FM, as they say in the business.
So we were talking. We left off with you being the honoree of Wildwood.
Yeah, so congratulations on that. Is there anything else you need us to know or want us to know about that before we move on?
No, I just think I was saying that several other guys that were active in the organization were previously honored, and it's just a fun way to connect again. And I think it also allows me to go out to my network of people and say, if you haven't been to Wildwood, come up and join the party.
It sounds so beautiful, and it's the weather here has just been spectacular. So you guys are going to be in for some really nice weather. When is that happening again? The 18th, did you say?
18th. Yeah, it's
18th to the 21st.
On my screen right
okay,
away.
Okay, so like in 2 weeks, the 18th.
Yeah, it starts on Thursday the 18th, and it goes through through lunch on the 21st.
Cool. Is it the food there? Fantastic.
The food food is fantastic. I think they may actually have a new chef that I haven't met yet, but it has always historically been one of the things that, you know, you really can't have a great retreat with bad food.
That's right.
Although I've been to some lately. I volunteered a couple of weeks ago to it's a performing arts camp for kids with AIDS.
Uh-huh.
And they learn how to do different art forms and participate and learn to express themselves. And it's a beautiful place, but the food wasn't too good.
Mm-hmm. It kind of ruins the experience, doesn't it?
Well, so. The kids aren't as picky as
Yeah.
codgers like me.
Yeah, right.
So if you don't know, listeners, about Wildwood, I went online to look them up and check them out and talked about the mission statement and the goals and what we value, Wildwood, that is. It's really, really, I love what they're saying here. So I would advise, go check them out and see what you see. And maybe you might attend one of these spiritually moving workshops.
Or if you have a group of your own that's looking for a place to do that,
yeah,
that's another way to do it.
How many people can it hold? Do you know?
Well, I have been there when there have been as many as 100, but that's usually in the summer when they also have when the tents are viable. So they have cabins, they have tents, and they have kind of like a motel. You know, like motel type rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a main house, and then there's meeting rooms. There's what we call the temple, which is I carried wood up the side of the hill to help build. And,
well, that must make you feel proud.
The end of the side of it is built into the mountain, so the sort of altar is a piece of Sonoma County.
Wow.
It's all beams and light. And then there's a yurt, and there's several other smaller spaces and meeting rooms all over the
hill. Sounds really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the hiking, of course, which is really pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us, Nick. So let's shift a little bit, because we're curious about your life in L.A., we see that you do just about, you name it and you can do it, Nick. You're just a man of all talent. So tell us a little bit about your life in L.A. so the audience can be abreast to it as well.
Well, going back a little earlier than that, I can just tell you to start, I was an Army brat and I lived in California, in Central California, for a year and a half while my father went to the Army Language School in Monterey. And we lived on the Monterey Peninsula, and I absolutely fell in love with California. I was 12, 13, and 14 years old. And I really wanted to come back ever since then. And, you know, I really I managed to come out all during the 70s and early 80s on various kinds of projects in my career, which kind of... It's always been in media. I got a degree in media, master's degree in media arts. I was a journalist when I started, and I got very involved early on with the alternative video movement and the independent filmmaking community. And quite a few of the projects that I worked on brought me to California, and in particular L.A., which I loved, mainly because of the weather. And but I just, something about the energy and the fact that the industry is here, and that's what I wanted to do. But I never managed to get out here full-time. I think the longest I was able to stretch it was 6 months at a time when I worked on a couple of films back-to-back. And in 1990, I was living in Washington, D.C. again, and my job was ending, and I was looking for a gig, and I got what I thought was a temporary job running a conference for the American Film Institute, and I moved out here to Southern California in 1990, and as these things happen, I worked for that organization for more than 20 years, leaving in 2010 as the Senior Vice President of Media and Technology for the American Film Institute.
Wow.
And having that position and really a wonderful boss and working environment and having some control of my schedule really was a key factor in allowing me to get involved with Wildwood as my charity and to come up as much as I did. I had a pretty stable situation, and I knew, you know, when I could do it and when I couldn't, and so it worked out great. So I was lucky in another way in the early days, because the job that they offered me when I that conference thing was ending was also brought me to Northern California a lot, because AFI had made a deal with Apple Computer to be the site for the first computer lab for filmmakers in Hollywood. They really didn't have anybody to run it, and I didn't know very much about computers, but, you know, I figured it was like producing a movie or writing a book or doing anything like that that I had done. And so, you know, you get on the phone and talk to people, and that's what I did. And we launched that in May of 1991, and we were the first and only, for quite a few years, site where Macintosh computers were taught for filmmakers. And since it was being invented as we went, I was back and forth to Silicon Valley a lot. It evolved from being an Apple-centric project to being a technology, a series of programs at the intersection of technology and media. Mm. So later in the 90s, I created a program called the Digital Content Lab, which was an incubator for interactive media, and we built more than 90 projects with major TV and movie brands and lots of different technologies. And this, you know, kind of was when the internet was beginning to come in, so those were the things we were concerned about, and that's what I've continued to be focused on in my consulting practice, which I started when I left AFI. Multi-platform storytelling, transmedia, interactive media, lots of things like that.
That sounds also very exciting. I mean, you started as a temporary kind of thing to run a conference, and then it turns into this big life, pretty life-changing, it sounds like, as well as the retreat center. You had this wonderful opportunity to be right on the cutting edge of this new technology and new way of doing things with film folks, and sounds pretty exciting.
Well, you know, I am a 100% dyed-in-the-wool California booster. My life is has been defined by the opportunities that, you know, came my way in the two most important businesses in the state, motion pictures and television on the one hand, and computers and digital technology on the other. And it's an amazing time to be alive. And, you know, it's not perfect, but it's fascinating, and it keeps you young, keeps your mind running.
Yeah.
Lots to keep track of, and lots of people to meet. So I love meeting people.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you have such a great balance in your life, you know.
Well, some days it seems like it better than others. It's been a pretty good month. Most of August was, you ask about my life in Southern California. Well, it was chaos because I was remodeling. So I was living in my garage. And
that's always so stressful.
Hoping they put the toilet back in by the end of the day.
Did they?
Yes, usually. Thank goodness for the lesbian couple down the block who have that small bathroom in the outbuilding behind their house. So they learned that from me.
So you speak as though you are alone in your house doing the remodel.
I don't even have my dog anymore. May he rest in peace.
Oh.
I actually moved into this particular house because I had a dog, Basil Rathbone, the world's craziest English Springer Spaniel. These lots in Burbank are deep, so the yard is pretty large. So, but he passed away, and I haven't had a partner in this house for morale. I've had some near misses, shall we say. But, no one's moved in, so I don't know. That's probably an indicator right there.
Are you looking for...
What's the indicator? What do you mean?
Well, I've had relationships that have lasted for a couple of years, but we maintain separate domiciles. Mm. So the impulse to move to that next stage didn't quite happen. So I guess that means it wasn't really working.
Uh-huh. And so, Cher, you were asking, there's a desire for?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you want that. I don't know if your lifestyle can handle like one more stressor, but is that something you want in your life, is to have a partner?
Well, I date. I have men in my life. I'm not a hermit. I don't know that I'm very good at. I mean, it's harder now at this age to do the things that you need to do in order to make a relationship work, which is, you know, if you're set in your ways, it's harder to make it work for me. It seems like maybe others don't have this, but it seems like you get pickier. The road narrows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the relationships that last for a very short period of time, I have a sense that it's just not a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think there's the desire is there. I don't know if the skills are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, I know an awful lot of guys who are in relationships, or people in general, actually, that are in relationships that... They 90% of what they have in their relationship is companionship, and the erotic or emotional or love part of it is moved into another area, and I'm blessed in that regard that I have a lot of really close companions and friends that I have friends that are 30, 35 years. I had a birthday party in June, and I was also celebrating my 20th year of sobriety, and I had 50 people there, some of whom I had known since 1971. So I'm pretty blessed.
Right. Well, I think a lot of older folks. I'm putting you that in that category, but you're only a couple years older than I am. So, but a lot of older folks, I think. When we were young, back when we were, you know, in our teens and 20s, you know, we couldn't be out. A lot of people couldn't be out. And so you didn't, like you were saying, there was no books. No one taught you how to do it. You had to kind of find out on your own, and things. Sometimes you may have made unhealthy choices, like you were saying. And so by the time you get into your 60s, 70s, and 80s, it's like, well, now what do we do? We're set in our ways. We don't have the skills or something like that. So the question, I guess, is if you meet somebody, would you be willing to, if you meet somebody that just knocks your socks off, would you be willing to change?
That's a really good question. I mean, the evidence would point to no, but maybe I haven't met the person that knocked my socks off. I mean, I think that's the question. You know, it's been a while since I've been infatuated. But that's kind of what I did for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
It'd be like lose my heart and then suddenly within a week be in a relationship and then, you know, ignore all the red flags because I wanted to be in love. I was in love with being in love.
Mm. Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, it's endorphins all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some wonderful romantic memories. I'm still in touch with three or four of those people.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that we didn't like each other. It was just that the expectations shifted, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your life. You said you came out when you were 21. When did you know that you were gay?
Well, I didn't have sex with anybody but with women, which was the expectation, until college. So right there, you know, some kids, I guess, maybe back then, that, you know, it wasn't that I was devout, you know, devout little kid or something like that. It was just, there was something missing. I didn't know what it was. And I I certainly remember having homoerotic fantasies at Boy Scout camp, and I remember, you know, when I was little, walking on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, you know, and your eye level is right about crotch level, and I wasn't looking at the girls in bikinis.
Right.
And so, you know, after the fact, I looked back and I realized these things were going on, but at the time, of course, all I knew was that I was different. And, you know, I managed to have sex with women numerous times, and it was almost always accompanied by a lot of alcohol.
Right.
And so there's a theme emerging. And I'll tell you the wonderful story of my coming out. I mean, I'd had a couple of little fumbling events, but I was very involved with the anti-war movement in 1971. I went to I came back to D.C. to from Southern California, my first visit out here, and I went to an anti-war demonstration, and it was in the basement of a church. Bobby Seale was speaking, and some guy sat down next to me. I remember he had blonde curly hair, and I don't know, but by the end of the evening we were holding hands. It was just as simple as that. And he took me outside and put his arms around me and kissed me and says, come on. And I got in his Volkswagen van, and we went to East Potomac Park and had sex all night. And the next morning I got up and was arrested for burning my draft card. Oh. And in a week, the girl I was living with kicked me out because I told her the truth. I was so excited I had to tell somebody. She wasn't the one I should have told, I guess. You know, there wasn't a scintilla of guilt or remorse. It was like, oh, now I get it.
Mm.
And I pursued men ever since.
And that was when you were 21?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about family, parents?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it took me a couple of years to get my nerve up, and my parents by this time were in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I remember the first trip I went down there after I was comfortable going to bars and meeting guys, and I went to this, there weren't as many bars and things, but back then I went to a place called Keith's Cruise Room, very subtle. It was a very old, seedy, nautically themed bar with old men and young go-go boys.
Mm.
And and I walked in the bar, and there was a go-go boy, and it turned out to be the guy I had picked up at the Bobby Seale rally the year before. And he had reappeared in my life. I couldn't tell my parents, but I was bound and determined the next visit I was going to do it. And then my father died.
Mm.
I was 23 years old, and my father died. He was younger than I am now, of a heart attack. It was a shock. He died at his father's funeral.
Oh, so my gosh.
It was a double funeral.
In
New York.
Oh.
And I was close to catatonic. I was, you know, just devastated. And within less than a year, my mother came to visit me in D.C. because my father was buried at Arlington Cemetery. And I put off every day having the talk. And finally, I decided to have the talk in the last afternoon. And I told her I was gay, and the first thing she said, first words out of her mouth were, well, of course I knew.
Mm.
And the second words out of her mouth was this incredible revelation that, well, the words were, your father was like that. And she had, she told me that, and I'm sure I'm the only person that's ever been told this, that my father had affairs with men, and she discovered this through love letters that she intercepted. And she did not give me a lot of detail, but this was, of course, doubly infuriating because not only did he die before I got a chance to be honest with him, but had I been able to, he probably could have helped me a lot.
Mm.
So there's a lot of stories in the Naked City.
Very interesting.
But that's, I applaud your mom for telling you the story, though, you know?
Well, yeah, we got much closer. Mm. You know, I wasn't in California, but that was another reason I was interested in coming to Southern California. This time my brother was out here. I have one older brother. He's 5 years older than I am. A fundamentalist Christian. That's another part of the story, but I don't know how much time you've got, but it took them a long time to come to grips with me being gay.
Hmm.
I finally took a boyfriend. I mean, part of it was I never had this, like, one true love. That if I'd been something close to marriage, it might have been easier. Maybe not. But I was dating this guy, and I thought, well, and he was Jewish, and I went to Hanukkah at his family's house. So I thought, well, hell, I'll just bring him to Christmas, and if they don't like it, they can tell us to leave.
Mm.
And I think I was more nervous about him being Jewish than in this fundamentalist Christian house than him being gay. They finally come to grips with it, so much so that my sister-in-law asked what kind of quilt we wanted on our bed, and that almost sent me running from the house. But
those kinds of questions are just so wonderful and so inclusive and just so accepting, you know?
Yeah, you know, time is a healer. I mean, this is the great genius behind the It Gets Better campaign. I mean, it doesn't always get better for everyone, but it has gotten better for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, good. I'm glad that they your family has come around. And so you only have the elder brother? Any other?
Yeah, they have four kids, daughters. So I have four nieces.
Mm.
And we get along great. So, but, you know, if you're not in the immediate proximity, you know, life's in session. So we don't, you know, we see each other on holidays, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Wonderful. So we're getting close to that time, Nick, and it's been really a pleasure getting to know you and learning about Wildwood. I want to have
thank you. I feel like I should be asking you lots of questions. I want it's a one-sided conversation.
Oh no! This is okay. We would like to do the last part of the show around advice. So, a man of your talent and your charisma and all of that, you have lots of information that you probably can offer those seeking the truth or seeking ways to be connected to oneself and those who are wanting to transform their lives. So do you have any advice that you can offer to someone who might be listening?
Well, we have this practice at some of the Body Electric workshops and weekends and things. It's akin to living in gratitude, which it's more important to be grateful than it is to be resentful. But if you're in a group, try appreciating verbally other people. So we would be told that we had to appreciate 10 people. Mm. And when you appreciate someone, you're not appreciating, gosh, you've got great hair, or you're, you know, or some other thing that they've done for you. You're appreciating a quality, and being able to express to another person, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you were there for me when I need you. You know, it means an awful lot to hear that. And if you do that repeatedly with other people, you'll discover that you get it back. People start letting you know how much you mean to them. And I discovered this when I had a surgery 2 years ago. I had an infection in my colon, and I had to have part of my colon removed. And people showed up, and I was overwhelmed with gratitude, and they kept saying, Nick, you don't get it. We're just paying you back.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow, that's really touched me. Appreciations.
Appreciations. So appreciate people in your life and let them know it.
Mm-hmm. Let them know it. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Of all the endings, advice, appreciation is so, so important. Thank you, Nick.
Well, it's lovely meeting you.
Oh, back at ya. We wish you the best of luck at the retreat and being the honoree. Could you give that website address one more time? And
absolutely. It's Wildwood Retreat. One word, WILDWOOD, retreat.com. And the Wildwood Men's Festival is, you click on the events button, and it'll tell you all about it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for that. And we hope that your health is in good shape now.
I'm feeling wonderful.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so very much for being our guest tonight, Nick. We're very happy that Ryan from Wildwood got in touch with us and that you wanted to be our guest. And we will have the show up in a couple days, and you can direct people. I'll give you the link, and you can direct people to the show if anyone's listening there and wants to hear the archive of the show. We're at outbeatradio.org. So remember, everybody, remember, like Nick, you too can be living proof that through sharing your talents, your expertise, your passions, you too can be visible and vibrant, telling your story. Until we meet again next month,
good night.